5 marks of mission. Today's sermon is the first series based on the Anglican Communion's 5 marks of mission. Each week, using the abbreviation titles Tell, Teach, Turn, Transform, and Treasure, we will explore each mark of mission over the next 5 weeks. The word mission simply means being sent out. This encounter, as recounted also by Matthew and Luke, are the momentum for all Christian mission, because mission goes out from God. I would like to point out this morning that mission is the best right of every Christian. Steve Frost says, mission is the lifeblood of a church. Without it, a church is on the road to nowhere. It is about having an outward-looking state of heart. And as people look outward or outside themselves to the wider world, it is so healthy and attractive. Proclaiming the kingdom of God involves words and deeds. So these are the 5 marks of mission. And so we're going to proclaim it as a church. So I kickstart by shouting out, because it is exciting, shouting out the abbreviated title, and then you respond with what it is. So here we go. Tell.
To proclaim the good news of the kingdom.
Teach.
To teach, baptize, and nurture new believers.
Tend.
To respond to human need by loving service.
Transform.
To transform unjust structures of society. To challenge violence of every kind and pursue peace and reconciliation.
Treasure.
To strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth.
Thank you very much, Church, for memorizing it. At the door, each one of you will recite it. These 5 marks of mission offers a framework for mission and ministry work. Just like our baptismal covenant that declare our ministry as a church. Today we are studying the first of the 5 reasons for the church's existence. Tell, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. This is the summary of what mission is all about. This first mark also challenges us to see the importance of sharing the good news of Jesus in words. Jesus commands his disciples to use both words and action in proclaiming the good news. Paul and Peter, in their letters, remind us of the need to share the good news in word as well as action. The majority of those who come to faith today came through various gates. The gate of healing, the gate of community, the gate of compassion, the gate of social justice, and the gate of profound brokenness. I came to the Lord through the gate of healing. These gates largely mirror the 5 marks of mission. Indeed, The more fully we live out the five marks of mission, the more fully we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And the more we understand that we are partners with God in enabling his kingdom to burst forth from our midst into the world. Each gate will ultimately involve a personal encounter with Jesus at the foot of the cross. But it is increasingly likely that that journey through the gate to the cross will be in the company of others. The first mark I would like to point out is the foundation of the remaining four. For it is only when we have been moved to tell of God's awesome love and call on our life that we can also hope to teach, tend, transform, and treasure effectively. Let us go back to Luke's gospel for a moment. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. He then commissioned the 70 or the 72, giving them instructions. I would like to work with the number 70. I will explain in a moment. A similar commissioning had occurred with Jesus' 12 apostles as the Lord sent them out to cure diseases and cast out demons. And this is in either Luke 9, 1 to 6, or Matthew 10, 1 to 42. So let's look at what Jesus said, the instruction Jesus gave the 70. He instructed them to go, and they went in pairs. He instructed them to beware, because as Christians, we are lambs among wolves. To live by faith, they didn't carry extra provisions. Be attentive, so that they're not sidetracked by social niceties. Extend your blessings. Wherever they go, they should bless the houses. To be content, that is, wherever they are received, they should stay there. Receive their due. Be flexible. That means not to be fussy. So many of us are very fussy. Heal the sick. Proclaim the kingdom. Now, the message is simple. The kingdom of God is near you. And also, he warned them about rejection. The main difference between the 70 and the 12 is that Jesus told the 12 to preach in Galilee, avoiding Gentile areas and Samaria. But the 70 were given no such restriction. Luke 10 is the only place where we can find the commissioning of the 70, which broadens Jesus' missionaries beyond the 12 apostles who were commissioned earlier in Luke 9. Not only is the scope of mission expanded by the larger number of participants, but the harvest metaphor also introduces a new agency. Now let's come to the discrepancy between the 70 and the 72. First, I will suggest, let such a minor issue be no cause of debate. I've decided to work with the 70 because it is repeated in other places in Old Testament scripture, such as Exodus, Numbers, and Jeremiah. So I personally think it's more likely that the number is 70. The 12 apostles earlier in Luke represent the ministry to the 12 tribes of Israel. The ministry of the 70 to the nations equals the nations mentioned in Genesis 10 after the flood, after Noah. And so, symbolically, the sending of the 70 talks of reaching all nations. Moses sent out 12 spies out to the land, just as Jesus sent out the 12 apostles. Moses selected 70 elders to help him with his work, just as Jesus sent the 70 disciples as forerunners to offer peace and to proclaim the kingdom of, and to proclaim that the kingdom of God is near. Interestingly, there were 70 springs, there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees in Elim. And just like Elim, I would like to point out this morning that Christians are to be like an oasis in the desert to the nations, so that the nations may come free from the dust of the world to eat and drink the goodness of the Lord. Let us look at significant differences between the mission of the 12 apostles and the 70 disciples. In Luke 9, as I've already mentioned, only 12 were sent out. These 12 are known apostles. In Luke 10, 70 others, and we don't know their names. The 12 were sent out to minister in Galilee only to the Jews. The 70 were sent out to minister in the south, along the route Jesus will be taking to Jerusalem. The sending out of the 12 seemed to conclude Jesus' ministry in Galilee. But the 70, their sending out was an introduction to the south, where Jesus will be going. The 12 were sent out in place of Jesus, but the 70 were sent out as forerunners ahead of Jesus, who will be passing by. It seems the 12 were sent out to rural, remote, or previously missed places, but the 70 were sent out to the towns and cities. I would like to point out that the 70 represents everybody. The commissioning of the 70 shows that proclamation of the good news of the kingdom is the responsibility of the church and all Christians, and not just a select few. I'm sorry, this will disappoint both those who think of themselves as the select few, and also those who prefer not to get involved. Having appointed the 70, Jesus speaks of the great need of mission. The Christian life is a calling to mission. As the 70 were sent on a mission, so are we. Our journey of discipleship is an exercise in obedience and faithfulness to the will of God in Christ. The opportunity for reaching out are endless and literally right in our own backyard within the housing development. What do you think the 70 felt like? Being sent out in pairs, to unfamiliar places, entering uninvited with a bold message to proclaim. They must have felt like we do when we go to the housing development and claim all those hearts that are ready and hungry for God's kingdom. When we go forth from here this morning to live the Christian life in all those places Jesus wants us to go, like the 70, we too are set forth. Every Sunday we gather together here to be sent forth once more. Now, the identity of the 70 disciples are never given in Scripture, and the group is never mentioned again. It seems that their ministry is specific to prepare Jesus' path to Jerusalem. Since God does not consider it important for us to know their names, we don't need to consider it important either. It is a good reminder that since their names are unimportant, ours are too. It is the name of Jesus Christ alone who deserves all attention and glory. It is enough that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, we don't need to be recognized when we partner with the Lord on his mission. The harvest metaphor in verse 2 suggests an urgency regarding mission. Sometimes many Christians no longer feel the need of mission. For a farmer, harvest time is the most urgent season of the year. Modern equivalent to this will include the tax season for the accountant, Christmas season for the supermarkets, final exams for students and teachers, deadlines for the journalists. But for us here as in Ma, it will be the current challenge of a mission within the existing housing development in North Horsham. Because it's our parish and the Mowbray development, it will be what that means to us. The church sometimes take a lazy approach to reaching out to those who are searching for the deeper meaning of faith. There is an old story of a farmer who said, "Lightning strike an old shed and save him the trouble of tearing it down. Then it rained and save him the chore of washing off his car too." When someone asked him, "What are you doing now?" he replied, "I'm waiting for an earthquake to shake the potatoes out of the ground." The subject matter for us today is tell, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom to the world. But unlike the farmer, St. Mark cannot afford to wait for an earthquake to shake the unchurched people out of their hiding places into the church. So what does this mean to us? The first mark of mission, tell, is really the key statement about everything we do in mission. For us here in St. Mark, this task of proclamation is one of our key goals. How do we proclaim the good news of the kingdom? Here are a few practical suggestions. We need to get on board with God's kingdom. We need to orientate our lives around God's kingdom. And we need to tell, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Of course, Christians must show the good news of God's kingdom in what they do. And we must also explain the kingdom with words as Jesus did. The mission of the church is to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. To do so will take words and actions. So what can you do in your own context, at home, in the community, at work, and other places, in order to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom? Often we think we cannot do it because we have no choice, possibly at work. I would like to suggest that in life, we always have a choice. It is only that sometimes it's easier to think we don't have a choice. My prayer this morning is that over the next 5 weeks, we as a church will be affirmed in what it is that God has created us for, and to be encouraged to work and pray for it. So together we're going to pray the first mark into the body of Christ Jesus. Tell, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Amen.